Call the meeting to order. We do not have a quorum at this time. However, we're going to get started. And for our special recognition here today, we are waiting for Chair Greg Davids to come in. He would like to join us and read the resolution. So what we're going to do, I think, members, so that we can get started on time and end on time or before, Chair Anderson, I think we're going to ask Representative Poppy to lead off with her bill because I don't think there's a lot of controversy around this one. So we'll go ahead and hear her bill. These will be held over for possible inclusion as well. So I feel comfortable going ahead and getting started. So Representative Poppy, if you'd like to move your bill and begin, please.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Thank you. I'd like to move House File 1216 for possible inclusion.
All right. We do have the bill before us. If you'd like to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. This is a rural mental health bill to actually increase the amount that is given to the Department of Ag, who gives it to MinSCU, who gives it to the contracted rural mental health counseling person for the services he provides statewide for, right now, farm business management families, so farm families throughout the state. And the person who is contracted to do this is Ted Matthews, and he's busy working today, so he's not with me. So I'm just presenting the bill on his behalf, but on behalf of all farm families throughout Minnesota. I work at Riverland Community College as a counselor, and I work with farm business management faculty who I know have used the services that Mr. Matthews provides many times. And he is available really 24/7, 365 days out of the year. He is available to travel anywhere in the state, so he does come to anywhere that you might need, have a need for, if a family, farm family, has a crisis or a dilemma. And that happens, that can happen in any family with regards to a divorce situation, a death in the family, a crisis, financial crisis. They may need to know how to communicate better. They may need to know how to alleviate some of their pain and distress. So this is a bill that changes the amount from what is now at $94,000 up to $134,000 a year. And in talking with Mr. Matthews, I'm aware that at one point he was receiving $100,000 per year, but probably about 10 years ago, there was a cut across the board, and so it went down to $94,000. But during the same time, his increases of what he has to pay for services and other things has increased. So it used to be about 20% of his total amount that he received was money that he had to pay out for other things. Now it's about 35%. So he actually has lost in with both the income and his expenses have gone up. So I'm just asking that we take this into consideration and would be able to support this for this contract.
Thank you, Representative Poppy. Thank you for bringing this forward. Do we have any questions from our members? Seeing none. Anybody from the audience want to testify for or against this bill? Seeing none as well. We do have a quorum, so we're going to officially move, Representative Poppy moves House File 1216 to be held over for possible inclusion. All right, Representative Poppy, your bill is held over for possible inclusion. Thank you so much. Representative Davids, Chair Davids, thank you. Welcome to the committee. We are going to move, my friends, to special recognition. Today, we do have very special recognition. For those that are new to the committee, we like to do this, recognize someone who has done some wonderful things in agriculture. We like to explore all parts of the state and, again, identify people who have been strong leaders and done great work in the agriculture sector. So, Chair Davids, welcome.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's a very special day. We have a House resolution for Gerald Tesmer, who is a longtime agricultural educator in southeastern Minnesota. I believe now you have Fillmore and Houston counties. So I'd like to read this resolution, if I could.
Please.
And halfway through, I'm going to sign it. And then it's signed by the Speaker of the House, Majority Leader. And if it's okay, I'll approach the bench and have you finish reading and then for your signature.
Very well.
And then we can present it to him. A House resolution honoring Gerald Tesmer for his contributions to agriculture. Whereas for the last 27 years, until his decision to retire recently, Gerald Tesmer has been an agricultural agent, county extension director, agricultural educator, agricultural tech advisor, and agriculture extension educator, and has worked in Fillmore, Maurer, Winona, and Houston counties. And I should say, Mr. Chairman, members, he's got some family here. His bride is here. And so we're very excited to have them joining us all today. Whereas in 1987, Gerald was appointed to a local county agent position with the University of Minnesota Extension. And while at Extension, he completed a master's of education in adult education. And whereas his duties include providing programming for agriculture and environmental issues, assisting farmers with farm financial management, and producing a weekly news column and radio program. And he also served as an advisor on the statewide farm information line. And whereas he has received national recognition for his farm safety program, which initially began as a summer day camp for about 50 students, but in the last 8 years, all fourth grade students across Fillmore and Houston counties have attended the Farm Safety Day Camp, and now each year the program attracts over 400 participants. So, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to stop there and sign. Is the right one here?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And it goes on to read, whereas in 2011, Gerald was a finalist for the National Association of County Agriculture Agents Search for Excellence Farm Safety and Health Award. And whereas he is a role model for other agriculture extension educators, has served in leadership positions on numerous boards, including the Minnesota Association of Extension Educators, the Minnesota Association of Extension Agriculture Professionals, and the Advisory Committee to the Dean of Extension, and was recognized in 2007 as the Minnesota Farm Bureau Extension Educator of the Year. Now therefore be it resolved by the Committee in Rules and Legislative Administration of the House of Representatives of the State of Minnesota that it congratulates Gerald Tesmer for his contributions to agriculture over the past 27 years and wishes him well in his retirement. Members, please join us in recognizing. Mr. Tesmer,
yeah.
If you'd like to say a few words, we'd be honored.
I'm not going to stand here very long, so we'll make this very quick. I am appreciative of the time you've put in over the years. I've had a lot of great people I've met over, and nice to have you again. Can I share something about you?
Please.
Please sit in front.
Yes.
Are we on TV?
We encourage it. Please have a seat. So.
He was a very little wrestler back when I knew him. What was that? When you're 8 to 10 years old? I don't know just what. I've known you for several hundred years.
Long time.
Long time, yes.
And Mr. Chairman, members, we'll present now with the certificate itself. It's with the resolution. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Other than this, all I would have to say, Mr. Chairman and members, is this is all true. It's all wonderful. It's all great stuff. But the Tesmer family is just a wonderful family.
Absolutely.
And we're happy to have them in Fillmore County. Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Wonderful. And we believe all of that except the part about you being a little wrestler.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Chair Davids. Thank you. Yeah, appreciate it.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Pop.
You know, one other thing that the Tesmers have done that's a remarkable and wonderful thing and has been a great attribute to all of us is they have a lovely daughter, Sarah Dornink. And if you've seen Sarah before, come before our committee, she is the director of the Male Sea Board. And so there's a next generation there.
Absolutely, and thank you for pointing that out. Your legacy lives on.
Yes.
Absolutely, your legacy lives on. Thank you for joining us, Chair Davids. So, before we get into the next item, Representative Hansen, you have a special guest as well.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I have shadowing me today the president of Farmhouse Fraternity at the University of Minnesota, Rusty Zimmerman.
All right. Welcome. Woo. Welcome, Rusty. Thank you, Representative Hansen. All right, the next agenda item, Representative Anderson, Chair Anderson, would you like to present your bill? And while he's going up there, do we have anybody to approve the minutes? Make a motion to move the minutes. Representative Dill moves the minutes dated for March 3rd, 2015. Any discussion, corrections? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Representative Dill. Chair Anderson, would you like to move your bill?
Good morning, Madam, Mr. Chair. Yes, I'd like to move House File 907.
All right. Chair Anderson moves House File 907. We do have the bill before us. This bill will be held over for possible inclusion as well, correct?
Yes, Mr. Chair, and I also have an amendment. It's a DE1 amendment to move.
All right. Would you like to explain the you moved the amendment. Would you like to explain it before we vote on it? Is that all right? I do not have a copy of the amendment. Okay. I do have a copy. Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
So, yes.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. As you may know, there are a couple of fees collected when fertilizer is sold in Minnesota. One is a 30-cent fee per ton, and the other that this bill addresses today is a 40-cent per ton fee, which is designed to go for research, which we all feel is a worthy use of that money. And by statute, $800,000 of that fund annually goes to the AFREC Board for research, and the Department of Ag, again by statute, is allowed to keep $80,000 for their administration purposes. And there's some wonder, you know, the rest of the money, what happens to it, and that we'd like to see more of it go to research. That's basically what the bill does. And I have some figures for the year 2012, July of 2012 through June of 2013. Fertilizer sales in this state were over 3 million tons of fertilizer, and the dollars generated were $1.2 million. And again, $800,000 of that went to research, and the rest of the money stayed in the accounts and such, and the Department of Ag took a portion for administration. And in my original bill, just increased the $800,000 to $1 million, but the DE amendment, in an effort to keep a separate fund and make it a little more simple, says that of the funds collected, the department could keep $80,000 for administration, and the rest of the amount then would go to AFRAC for research. And that's what the amendment does, Mr. Chair.
All right. Thank you. Any questions, members? DE1 amendment. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I was just looking at, it is a DE1 and changes in an appropriation. I'm wondering, does the way that it's drafted impact how much would be in the inspection account, or if we're establishing a new account and putting this revenue in there? My concern is this going to impact the safety and inspection? Is it separate from that, or is it going to reduce that in any way?
Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Representative Hansen, as I understand, the two accounts are separate, but when they have instances where they have cleanups and things like that, some of the funds may be moved back and forth between accounts. And as of now, that 30-cent fee would be separate from this 40-cent fee, which was designed to go for research. That's the intent of that fee. And in as far as impacts on the other, I don't have any exact numbers.
Okay. All right. So Representative Hansen, would you like others to for yep. clarification?
Yes, Mr. Chair. If we could maybe have the Department of Ag comment just how this would work, because I just want to make sure we're not shorting the safety inspections at all.
All right. Very well. So see, we have Mr. Cruz coming down and Mr. Bezicki. Mr. Cruz, please state your name, who you represent for the record, and begin, please.
Mr. Chair, Santo Cruz, Minnesota Department of Agriculture. I'm starting to feel like we're partners in crime. I testify so often with with Mr. Chair Paul Anderson, but with regard to today, I'm going to make a few general comments on the bill and the account. And I'd like Greg Bezicki, who is the director of the PFMD, to talk about basically how this would work. But here's what I would say generally. I know in the amendment it talks about the department coming back to report to you all the sentiment of the AFRAC board. And I do not work for the AFRAC board, but I would like to accomplish that task right now. They will want more money, and the reason why they will want more money is because this committee is well aware of the losses in research dollars that have been experienced by the agricultural community. What they want is a very reasonable thing, more research dollars. Our concern is only that this could create a waterbed effect. And Mr. Chair, you've talked in the past about wanting it all and making sure that we don't pit one area of agriculture against another. And we still have to have our CFO look at this language. We emailed it to him this morning when we saw the amendment. But our fear is that this could create a waterbed effect, where if you are addressing the problem of research and pushing down on that problem, you could possibly raise other issues in the fertilizer account. And I'd ask Greg Bezicki to address some of those concerns.
All right, thank you. Mr. Bezicki, could we find you a different chair? You look like you're sitting on the floor. So if we could get staff to help you out there.
So hot.
Don't take my chair.
I couldn't see you over the desk there, so please, if you'd state your name for the record, begin, please. We like to have fun in ag as well, so all right. I'm losing all control. I'm sorry. So please state your name for the record and begin.
Mr. Chair, my name is Craig Bezicki. I'm the Division Director of Pesticides and Fertilizer Management. Thank you for getting me a new chair. I could barely see you up there, so... The way the well, first of all, Mr. Chair, and for audience members and committee members, we spoke, and I apologize, I can't remember whether it was in the policy committee. I think it was in the policy committee, but it may have been the finance committee about a month ago about this AFRAC report. And so, if anyone is interested in really delving into this. Everything is in here, I think, or many, many things are in here, including the history of this program. I'd like to be very clear. This is a really great program, and Minnesota should be very proud of this program and all the folks that work on it. It's one of the best in the country, and I can assure you that the staff at the department has bent over backwards to make this work, and I don't think there's any issues about that. But as Mr. Cruz said, in managing the fertilizer account, I think the issue here is that folks would like more money for research, more money to do good things. Mr. Chair, I would like more money to do good things, and in fact we have a relatively small fee increase proposal before the committee this session to do anhydrous ammonia and bulk fertilizer. Now, having said that, initially, when this program was started, it was started with $600,000 in general fund. There's been, there were 2 years in which the fertilizer regulatory account paid for the research program before the fees that are in this program kicked in and we started receiving it. So the department fertilizer inspection account by statute subsidized this program the first 2 years. Now the last three, and I'm just going to speak to three because there's actually been four, but the three are in this document to keep everything straight, so I'm speaking from this document. The last 3 years have been paid for by the increased revenue that has come in from the 40 cents. The funding has, the research funding has been paid from that. And as Representative Anderson said, there has been more money coming in two of those years. The first year that it began paying for it, it was about a wash. And then the last 2 years has actually been additional dollars coming in. Now the way the program is set up is that it's simply the fee increase that was passed a number of years ago just goes into the fertilizer account. There's just one account. And out of that account, we've always been transparent with the board, and it's in the reports. We pay for, as the statute requires, there's $800,000 for research, and the additional dollars go to pay for staff costs. We account for those staff costs. They run about 8 to 10%. That includes doing the RFPs and getting the contracts and staffing the board and the council and all that. And then we pay indirect costs out of that, which is required by the administration and statute. I'm not sure of all that and so forth. So that's been very transparent, and that's the dollars that are above and beyond that simply stay in the account for regulatory purposes. We operated subsidized the program in the beginning, so you could kind of look at that as a balance. It we haven't recouped all of those dollars, but there's nothing in statute that says we should. The amendment, the delete all amendment, basically sets up a new account, and all of the money would, the 40 cents per ton, would go into that account. What I'm uncertain, and what Mr. Santo, what we're trying to get an answer to this morning, unfortunately we weren't able to do so, is where do the indirects come from? So the $80,000 would pay for staff costs, and that would be kind of a bare minimum, but we could make it work. Currently we actually have a consultant on staff. We wouldn't be able to afford that. We have a that works with coordinating the commodity groups and all the members. And we devote some dollars to helping with the PR, the awareness of the research and all that. We wouldn't be able to do that, but we'd be able to get the RFP and the grants out for $80,000. We'd be able to administer it. The question is, who pays for the indirect costs? The indirect costs come out of the old fertilizer inspection account. Then that would be a hit of about $200,000 on us, and the account is already going down. It's got a reasonable balance at this point, but we're projecting it to out at the end of 17 to be at 1.3, and at the end of 19 to be at 0.5. That's without the new fee increase that we've got. So if the indirects come out of the fertilizer account, the inspection account, that's a problem. If it comes out of this new account, that's pretty much the way it's been operating. So that would be that. That's the way that would work. But right. We don't know exactly where those indirects would be paid from. I'm not sure what the nuances of that may be. One of your staffers would know.
Sullivan.
Mr. Chair and members, Mr. Bozicki, the language simply states that the $80,000 each year is to provide fiscal and administrative support to the council as required under statute. So the language is silent as to the makeup of that amount between direct and indirect costs.
So, Mr. Bozicki.
So, Mr. Chair, again, we go to our Finance and Budget Division, and they would be able to interpret what the policy is and how that would work, where the indirects would come from.
Yeah. Mr. Bozicki or Mr. Cruz, when this account was originally put in place, this program was originally put in place, this was for research purposes. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, yes. It was for research purposes. There had been quite a bit of discussion. There was actually a study group that came forward with the 40 cent fee, 40 cent fee, And there was, at the time, there was a discussion about hang-up was actually whether it would be reimbursable or not. And if you make an account reimbursable, the department would have incurred significant administrative costs in getting checks out, accounting for that. People would want their $27 back or $150, whatever it would. And so that was kind of the controversy, and it held it up for a little bit. That's why the general fund chair Junkie actually had came up with the $600,000 general fund to get the program started. And then that fee issue was resolved by not having it reimbursable. So the fee is not reimbursable. So that saved administrative costs, and it went forward. Now, at the time, the projection was we were working off of a 10-year projection of fertilizer sales at 2.2 million tons. And that stayed about the same, but in the last few years, it's gone up to about 3 million. So that's why there's more revenue coming in, because fertilizer sales have increased in the last 3 or 4 years. But at 2.2, it was about a break even. As the increase came in, then more dollars were coming in.
And Mr. Bezicki, when you were explaining this, you talked about the research purposes, and then I wrote down here as well, you said the regulatory purposes.
Right.
Was it the intent ever to have these dollars used for regulatory purposes?
I think that depends on who you talk to, but
well, I talked with Chair Junkie about 2 weeks ago. So
okay,
yeah.
Well, and I can recall, and I've had several conversations with former Chair Junkie, but I can recall him saying in committee, and again, we were dealing with the 2.2 million tons and the estimates at that time. And his statement in committee that I recall is that if the revenue coming in doesn't allow for this research dollars, if it doesn't make enough money, well, the department's going to pay for that. But if more money comes in, the department can keep that. So. And then the other thing I would point out is very simply, it's designed to go into the fertilizer account, and the statute says $800,000 shall go for research. So, I mean, I don't think anyone would dispute the fact that we're precisely administering the account the way the law says.
So, Mr. Cruz, your opening comments about investing in research. In the event, because I too am supportive with Chair Anderson's bill that we have before us as well. In the event we do that, what is going to be the need or the ask from the department in order, because we're all here for, want to make sure that we have, you know, safety in all aspects of agriculture. So what would be the ripple effect or the waterbed effect? What would be the following ask?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think that Mr. Bezicki stated it very well, in the sense that it all depends upon where the indirect costs that we actually incur from administering a program, which are not directly billed. This is things like lights, computers, things that we don't acquire for the sake of AFRAC, but that we have and use for the sake of AFRAC. We incur those costs. If they would come from this account, I can't speak for the commissioner right here and now, but I would say that I would recommend to him that we wouldn't have a huge problem with it. It would be doable. However, if the regulatory account is to take a hit for the benefit of serving this 40 cents, well, then they're not just getting their 40 cents. They're getting their 40 cents plus everything that we do indirectly for them. And I would say that kind of an overall, and so that's, you know, answer to your question, but if you'll indulge me in one other comment.
Yes, please.
The relationship with the board, you know, I had conversations with them down in Lamberton, and Al Junkie was there, you know, talking about precisely what you drew up. And I think that definitely the intention was to say this 40 cents is for research. But as Mr. Bezicki correctly stated, the idea was, well, the department's going to front load this because it needs to get started now. And then if it ever goes above, well, you know, the idea would be that the law would allow you to backfill it. Not that we were owed it, but there would be that option. So Now that we're in the backfilling phase, is where we're trying to decouple from that kind of striking of a balance and saying, okay, now the AFREC board would like to flow with that. And that's exactly what Chairman Moff has told me, and I've told him directly down in Lamberton in their annual meeting this year in Minneapolis that we would work with them on that. My recommendation to them was that we wait for the off year to address that. At the time, and I would say this may have changed in the past 48 hours, you'd have to ask Mr. Bill Bond. At the time, they supported that. The communication to me was that the board supported waiting until next year to address both the sunset and their financial concerns, and that the commission would work with them on that. But I would say, as of yesterday, Chairman Muff asked that Bill Bond represent their interests. So I won't speak to exactly where they're at on this issue. Quite frankly, I don't know.
Thank you. Representative Hansen, I think you still officially have the floor.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. And that was a long discussion. I think the key is we don't want to have, whatever the result is here when this is implemented, I don't think we want to reduce inspections on anhydrous or even the bulk storage. And so it sounds like there's a little bit of work that needs to be done to sort that out. And I think the motion was to lay it over anyway, right?
To hold it over. It'll be held over, yes.
Okay, and so we're still on the amendment, right?
We are on the amendment. So how about we go ahead, because Chair Anderson, you do have some other testifiers, I believe, mm-hmm. right?
I believe so, Mr.
So Chair Anderson moved the DE1 amendment. Members, let's go ahead and vote on that to get it in the shape the author would like to discuss it. So all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, we do have the bill in front of us as amended. Chair Anderson, do you have some other testifiers on this bill?
I thought I did, although I wasn't sure if anybody okay. else was going to come down. But and I would just echo, too, we certainly don't want to impact the safety aspects of the Department of Ag. I think you all know how I feel strongly about that. But the concern also is to get as much money into research as we can without impacting any of the other good programs that they do. So we will certainly give this a long look again before you put the finance bill together and work with this, work with everybody. And if it's better to wait a year and look at the entire sunset probability, we'll certainly do that. But I would just like to, again, raise the issue that as of right now, more money is going into the fund than is being used for research. And again, I guess I would also kind of go back to the point that I think the original intent of the separate 40-cent fee was to go to research, and we're getting away from that to a degree here. And I'd like to pull it back in a little bit in that direction, Mr. Chair.
All right. Thank you. Anybody else like to testify for or against this bill? So please state your name for the record and begin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Chair Anderson. I'm here on behalf of the board of the AFRAC organization. It was one of the reasons I think Mr. Bezicki said that that this is one of the best programs of its kind in the country, and I think mm-hmm. it is in part because of the partnership among the different organizations that serve on the board. Larry Muff, who is the chairman of the board, elected by the organization itself, and again, the members of the board are prescribed in statute. I am an alternate for the Minnesota Crop Production Retailers delegation, which has two seats on the board. and Mr. Muff couldn't be here today. He represents, I believe, the Soybean Council, and he has been chairman since the beginning of the organization and has, I think, a great deal of credibility in that regard. What was stated by Mr. Cruz is precisely correct, that when the organization was looking at this at their December meeting last year, the question of what do we do about the sunset, this bill, as you, I think, are aware, has a 10-year sunset, and that needs to be addressed legislatively, and we're, I think, would encourage the renewal of that. And then the questions about and complications of the financial structure, I think, were really not clear. And so that was the, I think, the conclusion of that board meeting was a resolution that
that this be laid over to 2016, the next legislative session. However, this bill prompted a lot of discussion, and I think what it has done is helped to clarify at least that there is an issue regarding the understanding of how the fund works and how the different administrative costs are assigned. That being said, I think there's been an ideal partnership here with the staff and the consultant, Dean Fairchild, that was retained to manage this. And also to let you know that it's not only research, it's also education. One of the challenges we've had in doing research is to actually get the results of the research, good practical production agriculture research, in the hands of the farmers, the producers, and their advisors. And so there's been a great deal of effort. A new website has been created, and there's been a lot of activity in publishing. So to make a long story short, the board does not have a position on this particular bill or the amendment. I would think that continued discussion would help to resolve any questions that there might be regarding the issues that were raised today.
Yes. Mr. Bond, just a technical here. Could you please restate your name
yes.
for the record?
It's Bill Bond, and I'm speaking on behalf of the AFRAC board, and I represent the Minnesota Crop Production Retailers.
All right. Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Bond? Representative Hansen.
Thanks, Mr. Chair, and maybe Mr. Sullivan can help refresh my memory on this, because I'm getting a little confused about authority and the lines of control here. So we have the council that's established in statute. Are they a creature of the executive branch, or are they a nonprofit, or are they a subset of the Department of Ag? Because I guess I'm a little confused with the differing testimony between Mr. Cruz and Mr. Bond on speaking for the council.
Mr. Sullivan.
Mr. Chair and Representative Hansen, the council is council in the executive branch, and unlike some advisory councils, I believe the Fertilizer Council actually makes decisions to award grants to specific projects. So the department facilitates that, but the council makes the decisions and is subject to the open meeting law and other requirements for executive branch agency councils.
Representative Hansen.
And Mr. Chair and Mr. Sullivan, so it has the authority to expend money. It would be kind of, Mr. Chair, like the Conservation Corps, where, but it's not a nonprofit, it's an executive branch agency. So then the board can decide who speaks for it, and that spokesperson can have a different position than the Department of Ag. The board can have a different position than the Department of Ag. Is that correct?
Sullivan.
Mr. Chair and Representative Hansen, I don't know of anything that would prohibit that.
Representative Hansen, follow up.
I want to ponder that a little bit. You know, I have some concerns about boards and authority and questions, and so I just want to, this is being held over, I want to think about that a little
bit. All right, thank you. Any other questions for the testifier? Seeing none, thank you, Mr. Bond, for your testimony. Any other questions to the bill for Chair Anderson? Seeing none, Chair Anderson. Representative Dill, I'm sorry.
Just had a comment. I certainly wouldn't attempt to speak for the former esteemed chair of this committee, but I did serve on it during those years, and I don't think that it was the intent of that chair to fund the department with the fertilizer fees. I don't think it was. I think it was for the inspection portions, and maybe I missed something in all of the testimony, but that's my recollection of the intent of the bill, of the former legislation.
Thank you, Representative Dill. I spoke to former Chair Junkie, like I said, a couple of years ago, or a couple weeks ago as well. So, Representative Anderson, any closing comments?
No, I think the discussion today has been good, Mr. Chair, and we'll certainly continue to discuss and work with those affected and to try to come up with something that works, or else we can wait a year on this.
All right. Thank you, Chair Anderson. House File 907, as amended, is laid over for possible inclusion in the Omnibus Agriculture Finance Bill. Thank you, Chair Anderson. Next on the agenda, we have Representative Schultz. Welcome to the committee. So,
yes, Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to move the bill. It's House File 1499, and it's for possible inclusion.
That's correct.
So I'd move the bill for Representative Schultz.
All right, thank you. We have House File 1499 before us. Representative Schultz, do your bill.
Thank you, Chair Hamilton and members of the committee. I'm here today to request an appropriation from the general fund of $350,000. And this is for developing and expanding food hubs in Minnesota. And I don't know if you know what a food hub is, but basically it's a way for small and mid-sized egg producers who need help aggregating, distributing, marketing their products to rural grocers, to schools, to co-ops, to farmers markets, and to other outlets. So right now we have a strong movement in Minnesota to develop more food hubs, and we've received funding, and that they've received funding in the past from Agri, and in terms of business plan development, although nothing was funded in the year 2015. So I've been working closely with the local food movement in my community and the Lake Superior Food Shed to develop an idea. We have right now a virtual food hub, but going forward they're going to need more funds to create a real food hub and get help small and mid-sized farmers bring their products to market and give them help, because they don't have the economies of scale that large producers do. So I encourage you to vote, support this bill and move it forward.
Representative Schultz, so we do have an amendment here, the A2. Is that an author's amendment?
Yes, it is. Sorry.
All right.
And that's just to make one change in line 1.12.
Okay.
To after systems, to say community-based food distribution systems and the University of Minnesota Extension, to include them in the discussion when they're looking at a report to make sure that we evaluate best practices in our state to use those models going forward to do expansions and developing new food hubs.
Okay. I'll go ahead and move the A2 amendment to get it before us. Representative Clark? Oh, you're going to move it?
That's fine. And then
you know what? I'm going to withdraw my motion, and Representative Clark moves the A2 amendment.
It's okay, Mr. Chairman. I will move that amendment, Mr. Chairman. That's fine.
All right. Thank you, Representative Clark. All right. Members, any other discussion on the amendment, the A2 amendment? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. So to the bill as amended, Representative Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I did have a question. I was looking at the map, and that's on the in the I guess it's the U of M extension document, and I see that, you know, that it shows the food hubs throughout the state. Is your intention to serve all the various food hubs? I mean, the ones I know there's a $50,000 set aside for those that are already existing. And when I was reading through the document, I didn't see the one that deals with any in the metro area, and I was wondering if that was just an oversight. I know you didn't do this map.
This is for any food hub. We're hoping, thank you, Mr. Chair, any food hub in Minnesota that wants to expand. So a lot of them want to expand into value-added products. They need help with a business plan for those, so that could be for any food hub. And it's the $50,000 is just for the report to look at best practices and to expand or create new food hubs. The $300,000 appropriation is for grants through the Department of Agriculture.
Representative Clark?
Mr. Chairman, I think this is a really important opportunity to really help some of our smaller farmers, and I'm thinking particularly some of our urban farmers, but also around the state, who are trying to aggregate. There's both rural and urban farms that are trying to come together to develop some, the small ones I'm talking about, to develop some distribution centers and common labels and marketing and so on. So I think it's a very good initiative. I guess it's a new part then of our Department of Agriculture. Is that right? It'll be a new program.
All right. Representative Schultz, you have a testifier?
I do have a testifier.
All right. Will that be able to address Representative Clark's question as well? Please state your name for the record.
My name is Greg Swazer. I can spell that for you if you like.
That would be great for staff.
It's S-C-H-W-E-S-E-R.
And it's pronounced Swazer.
That's how I say it, yeah.
All right.
You can say it how you want.
Thank you. Welcome to the committee.
Thanks. So for one of the questions here, you're talking about this map on the back and why it doesn't include metro food hubs. I think that tell you a little bit about my organization. I'm with the Regional Sustainable Development Partnerships. We're a part of Extension, and we deal specifically in greater Minnesota. So I put this map together and this overview of food hubs. It's been about 2 years since we started, so we were just doing this for our partners. And so metro area food hubs are not in here. That doesn't mean they don't exist. But I also say that this map is of a group of food hubs of people who were considering starting up food hubs, who were throwing around the idea, or who had started, or who had quit. You know, so it's really a mix. It was just a general scan of the landscape to see what we had at the moment. It's changed. There are more and there are less so at this point. So I hope that answers your question there.
Mr. Chairman, I think I understand from the author that she intends to be statewide, not to leave out any area, including the metro. But it sounds like you're most familiar with working with greater Minnesota.
Correct.
Okay, so as long as the intention is what I understand it to be, I think it's a terrific idea. I just think we might need a little more funding than that $350,000, but maybe that's what we start with.
Any other questions for the testifier? Representative Anderson, Chair Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question, Representative Schultz, what exactly the alternative community-based food distribution system is. Would something like Second Harvest be eligible for grants such as this?
Representative Schultz.
I believe they would if they're involved with helping if they need help marketing, aggregating, distributing their goods. So a lot of the CSA farms also develop their own food hubs. So it really depends on, you know, what their mission is and what their responsibilities are. But yes, some of those would be eligible for the grants.
Chair Anderson, any other questions? Representative Schultz, do you have another testifier?
Yes, we do.
All right. So if we could ask the next testifier to come down, please. And please state your name and who you represent for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Joe Domeyer. I work for Minnesota Valley Action Council Food Hub in Mankato.
Welcome, Mr. Domeyer.
We opened last summer, July 28th, and in the first 6 months we sold approximately 21,000 pounds of fresh produce from area farms within 50 miles of Mankato. Our demand for next year is looking to be closer to 160,000 pounds, and these producers range anywhere from 2 to 60 acres. We had 41 varieties of vegetables last year, and we're going to probably have about the same amount this year. We market anywhere from schools. Gus Davis Adolphus College is one of our first big supporters. District 77 in Mankato is going to be purchasing from us. And we're also direct marketing to consumers directly through our CSA program, where they subscribe and they get a box of produce every week throughout the growing season.
Very nice. Very nice. Any questions for the testifier? Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Mr. Domeyer, for coming up to St. Paul from our hometown. I had the pleasure of touring the facility with Charlie Poster from the Department of Ag, because they've received some funds from AgriFunds. And I also want to just explain to the committee, I moved to Mankato to work at Minnesota Valley Action Council, and deeply appreciate what they've done in fighting poverty in our region. And it's a dynamic organization. It looks a lot different today than it did when I started there 30 years ago. And part of it is these creative enterprises that they're engaged in. And this is one example of it. Oh, I should mention, too, this tie was purchased at Minnesota Valley Action Council. They sell used clothing. And and I think they have fine taste. But anyway, I wanted to ask you a couple of things. One, are you working with other community action agencies now to expand? Are there other community action agencies looking to expand into food hubs, and are you working with them?
Mr. Domeyer.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, we are currently in discussions with a couple of them that are interested, but it's very much at the planning phase at this point.
Johnson.
And then another question. The farmers, I recall when we were there last fall to learn about the food hub, just the makeup of the farmers, I understand a number of the farmers are also potential clients for low-income folks themselves. Could you speak to that?
Mr. Domeyer.
Correct. I think approximately 25% of the farmers that we have signed up right now. We have about 45 total that are signed up that are interested, and about 25% of those are low income, describe themselves as low income.
Representative Johnson.
Yeah, and finally, I'd like to ask, I'm interested about the relationship you have with Gustavus Adolphus, which I know really, you know, if you want a good meal, let it out a secret, if you want a good meal in St. Peter, go up to Gustavus it's a really nice cafeteria. I like a good cafeteria, but it's also they're committed to fresh foods. And can you talk about your relationship with Gustavus and how you're helping them meet their mission to provide quality food to their students and the community?
Mr. Domeyer.
Sure. They were actually one of the first major institutions that, when they were first approached about this, they basically said, where have you been for the last 10 years? And so having an institution like that supporting us right off the bat has helped a lot. And we're able to, they really only have two loading docks, so their ability to receive shipments from farmers is extremely limited. And their kitchen staff are the ones that are receiving the deliveries. So if they can make one call and place one order to us to source all of their locally produced vegetables, it makes their kitchen staff's life much easier, and it makes our farmers' life a lot easier because they don't have to go around hunting for all these institutions and, you know, trying to sell to all these different places. They can drop their vegetables off with us, and we take care of all the marketing.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And then I just thought of another thing. You know, we haven't heard about the role of the food hub in cleaning the produce and that sort of thing. Could you discuss that?
Mr. Domeyer.
Sure. When we first selected our equipment, we didn't have a real good idea of exactly what, so we got a good variety of different moderate capacity equipment for washing and packing. And then this last year, we also received grants from the USDA and the Minnesota Department of Ag to purchase processing equipment. So we can start doing the chopping, slicing, dicing, shredding, and bagging of produce, because that's really the form that most of the school districts require it in, because they really don't have a whole lot for kitchen capacity or staff. So we're able to take the vegetables from the farmers, wash them, pack them, and take them directly to the schools and in a form that they can use.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'll finish by just, I want to thank Representative Schultz for bringing this bill forward. After I toured that facility, there's a lot of potential here, folks. I really do, and I think I appreciate Representative Clark's comment. Maybe we're asking for too little money. You think about some of the things we're trying to do as a state in terms of healthy kids and nutritious diets and local food to schools, nutritional goals, promoting local producers. The hub is such a good term for this, because these hubs make this happen. And I thought Mr. Domeyer's comment about the challenge at Gustavus Adolphus, where receiving a lot of trucks one at a time does not work for that institution, an institution deeply committed to these same goals. The food hub makes these connections at a relatively small price, and I think it can really mobilize a lot of small farmers throughout the state. So thank you again, Representative Schultz.
You're welcome.
Stomeyer, do you work with the Southern Minnesota Initiative Foundation at all?
We have received support for them.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions for the testifiers? Any other? Representative Clark.
Just thought of one question. I'm not sure which part of the Department of Ag is administering this, but are there any criteria that are being set forward? Is that something that will be developed as we go along?
Representative Schultz, do you know, or is there anybody from the Department of Ag that could?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There are criteria that have been used in the past through other organizations that have given grants to food hubs. So I'm hoping, and it will encourage the Department of Agriculture to look to see what's been done in the past.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I would thank you, and I would just look forward to maybe having a chance to look at some of those. It would be helpful.
Okay. Any other questions to the author? Any closing comments?
I want to thank the chair and the committee for hearing this bill.
All right. Thank you. Representative Poppy removes her motion. House File 1499, as amended, is laid over for possible inclusion in the Omnibus Agriculture Finance Bill. Thank you, Representative Schultz. So I think we made it through everything. Is that correct? Now, members, just to let you know, because we're pushing up against policy deadlines, we are foregoing some of our committee times to the policy committee. All right. Next week, we're meeting only on Thursday. Is that correct? Looking at Mr. Knisley, he's saying yes, correct. Otherwise, it's going to be the policy committee meeting in our slot. So with that, members, we are adjourned. Thank you.